Welcome to Chew It with Pruitt, the regularly released podcast where your host, Kenny Pruitt, talks to people he knows about stuff that matters to them, all while hopefully making some new friends along the way. Join in on the conversation via email, contact@chewitpruitt.com, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @ChewItPruitt, or literally let your voice be heard at 507-407-CHEW. He has a high school diploma and a microphone, so you might as well listen. He's Kenny, and this is his podcast.
That's right, as the introduction said, I am Kenny, and this is my podcast. Welcome to Chew It with Pruitt, which is truly living up to the idea that it is very irregularly released. It's been, 2 months, I think, since our last episode. And honestly, I've been sitting on this interview for about that same amount of time. It's been about 2 months since I had a chance to sit down with my good friend Kevin Zaid and just talk about life. Lots happened in the Pruitt household in that time. We found out that the baby that we are expecting come September is a girl. So that's very exciting news. Definitely breaking the tie in the Pruitt household of two boys and two girls. So Charlie and I will now be outnumbered moving forward, likely forever, because spoiler alert, we're pretty sure baby number three is probably going to be our last. So that's happened since March. Holly and I were able to take a vacation. Since March, we got to go to New York for 4 days, and we had a blast. We got to eat a lot of delicious food, see a lot of really cool things, and definitely the highlight of the trip was getting to see Hamilton, which cost about as much as every other thing that we did on the trip combined. Apparently, it's a popular show, but we were able to snag some tickets on the third party market, and I will have to say it was definitely worth it. Holly definitely enjoyed herself probably more than I did, but seeing her so happy, definitely, I guess it, you could say it made it worth the money. And finally, we've put our house up for sale due to the fact that we got baby number three on the way. We figure it's now or never as far as selling the house. We might as well sell while the market's good, and hopefully be able to get something that'll be a better long-term fit for the Pruitt household. So there's been a lot going on. Really, those are all excuses. I just haven't made the time to sit down and edit this interview down. Kevin and I ended up talking for well over 2 hours. So as I mentioned in the interview later on, I don't think it's in this first part, but Kevin's actually going to get his own trilogy. So this is part one of three of my time with Kevin Zaid. We'll just jump right into it. All right, let's do this.
All right.
Let's...
It's a podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. So I'm here with Kevin Zaid. We're sitting on his back porch. It's just starting to get dark, but it was a rare non-rainy day.
Yes.
For the month of March. So we decided to come outside. There's a little bit of street noise off in the distance. Mm. And it's just a little better ambiance than sitting inside.
So, ambiance.
Kevin.
Hello.
Let's jump right into it.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Kevin Zaid. I am married to Jordan Zaid, the father of Gracie Ann and Avery May, 3 and 18-month-old girls. I am the co-host of The Zaid Story, which is a passion podcast, is what I would call it, meaning I get zero money for it. In fact, it costs me hundreds of dollars a year to operate, but it is my passion, both movies and through that podcasting. I grew up here in the Willamette Valley. I've been an Oregon born, lived here my whole life. Recently, I was just talking to my father-in-law. I was never a big fan of the summer. I liked school. I liked the fall. I like it a little cooler. But this year, I've been just longing for the sun to show up. And I don't know if it's because this winter was particularly cold with more than one snow and ice storm or what. But I've never been just waiting for summer. And this year, my 29th year, I have just been waiting for summer to be outside and let the sun shine. So I found that kind of interesting. I was just talking about that today. The only other thing I would introduce or talk about really to anybody is just I love music. I love playing music. I play several instruments. But more than that, I just love listening to all kinds of music. I love learning about new music. I love learning about old music. I love old music. And in today's culture, in today's world, I think that self-expression is important. And I think that the easiest ways to do that are through, the easiest ways for me to absorb that is through film and music. So that's a little bit about me. Is that a good enough introduction of myself?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's perfect.
I'm excited to be interviewed because doing a podcast, I do a lot of the talking a lot. And with my partner on The Zaid Story, who is less interested in talking about movies or podcasting, more interested in the experience and hanging out, I do a lot of the directing and kind of stuff. So it's nice to be on the other side of that and let this kind of happen to me as opposed to make it happen.
Yeah, I could see that. I've been a guest on your podcast a couple times. And that has been a fun experience in the sense of just being able to participate in what's happening rather than being responsible for making it happen.
Yes.
So I completely understand that. So I've known Kevin for a good while. I was at your wedding. You were at mine.
Yes.
It was actually... We didn't know each other that long.
No.
When you got married.
Probably 6 months or so.
Yeah, it was pretty short amount of time. I was often ridiculed for the outfit that I wore to your wedding.
Just the hat, I think, right?
Yeah, you know. I wore a fedora, which I still don't think there's anything wrong with that. But
no.
For whatever reason, it was an often topic of discussion. In the
not
the early
from you
years.
And I,
no,
but
no.
From the group,
yes,
from our group circle of friends.
Yes.
I believe you were wearing pants this color.
I don't think I didn't own the purple pants
at
that point. That was a post Holly purchase.
Okay.
Holly, I would say, is solely responsible for me being at all fashion forward. So
I was thinking that you'd worn some sort of color of pants. That was not your typical, and I was thinking how funny it is that only 10 years the fashion has flipped already.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember.
I don't remember what pants I was wearing, but I remember that I was wearing a fedora and I think a leather jacket. So yeah, that might have been.
It was a leather jacket.
But, you know, it was faux leather.
Of course.
Leather, if you will. So, well, let's jump into it. I don't know. You haven't probably had a chance to listen to the first couple episodes. They've just released recently. So
two
of them. Yes.
Was a duo?
She was a two-parter. There was a really natural break in the conversation. We recorded in the car on the ride up and then back from Portland. So first part of the conversation was on the way up, second part on the way down. So I'm also trying to keep episodes relatively short. So depending on how long our conversation goes, you might get your own sequel as well.
But no, I have not listened to these episodes yet. But I did see you posted a heebie-jeebie clue.
Yeah, I've been posting heebie-jeebie clues actually every day. I don't know if you've seen this.
I have not. I don't do the social media often enough.
So, I know in the past you've really enjoyed participating in the heebie-jeebies.
I saw one post that said, your episode is up, this is the heebie-jeebie clue, and I had already lost, so I wasn't even... I was too late to the game.
So I'll give you the rundown real quick on the heebie-jeebies. So every single day, usually in the evening when I'm home from work, so it's later in the day, I post a heebie-jeebie.
Okay.
So a heebie-jeebie every single day posted to Facebook and Twitter. And then in addition to that, each episode has an exclusive heebie-jeebie that's only revealed in the episode.
Okay.
So the post that you're even talking about, that was just the heebie-jeebie of the day.
For Facebook.
And I put the link to the podcast episode in there.
Right.
But I've been doing the daily heebie-jeebies for a little over a month.
Oh,
Just kind of in anticipation of building up to the release of the podcast.
Okay. So. Yeah. Very good. I'll jump on that because I love the heebie-jeebies.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's at least a reason to check your Facebook feed every night before you go to bed. Just see if there is an unsolved heebie-jeebie clue. So the first thing that I want to touch on, because this is the exact polar opposite of me, was the fact that you loved school growing up, that your favorite part of the year was the school year, and that summer wasn't necessarily the thing you looked forward to. So tell me, when did the love of school start? And then what was it about school that you loved?
Everything that wasn't the school part.
Okay.
I love people. I'm a people person. Although weekends like this where it's just so happened that I get about 24 hours with no one, no wife, no kids. I've filled with people the first half, but tomorrow I have nothing on my schedule on purpose because there's part of me that as an adult, not as a kid, almost never as a kid, but as an adult, I really cherish these moments, these hours where I can just be quiet.
Yeah.
Just do whatever I want. I plan to spend at least 45 minutes on my porch swing tomorrow if it's continuing to be a sunny day. It is covered, but...
Right.
You know,
it's not I as digress. Enjoyable. No. It's an Oregon rainstorm.
Exactly. So. So that's a little bit about... That's an avoiding of what you actually asked. But yeah, so as an adult, I cherish kind of the moments where I get to be quiet and I don't have a house full of the Moana soundtrack. Although I do love the soundtrack. You get my drift.
Yeah, no, I understand for sure.
But as a child, I hated being alone. I loved everything that was social. I did. When it was summer, I did Missoula Children's Theater. I went to day camp. Friends all the time. But as a kid, you don't get to decide when your friends come over.
Right.
So most of the week, I spent at home just waiting to see my friends. You know, most of it, I had some really good church friends growing up. So I looked forward to Sunday.
Right.
Because it's when I got to see my friends. And then as I got older, it was youth group. Now, school itself, the actual academics, per se, I did not like.
Okay.
In fact, I didn't care about them. It's not so much that I hated them.
We're in agreement there.
I was indifferent. I didn't care about homework. I didn't care about doing well or doing poorly. I just, it's school.
Right.
I get to see my friends. I walked to school every day of my life, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Kindergarten, walked with my parents.
Okay.
But it was literally 2 blocks from where I lived. Okay. Still to where my parents live now. And then when I hit 4th grade, I used to walk with 3 friends, and we'd walk probably a mile.
Okay.
I doubt it's a mile.
And 20 years ago, that was completely socially acceptable.
20 years ago in Silverton as well, right, which is a small town. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
The 5 cops constantly patrolled. Like,
yeah.
I walked to school in a long line of children walking to school.
Okay. Was there not a bus system?
There was a bus system.
Okay, but you would prefer to walk.
Yeah. My best friend for many years was named Gina, and her mom worked at the school district, but she worked too early to have her kid there, so she would drop Gina off at our house.
Okay.
And Gina and I would walk to school together. I think we walked to school together until 7th grade.
Wow.
And I kind of cherish those memories. They're fun. Gina and I have the same birthday.
Okay.
And so that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But walking to school, recess. I had a couple of really, really neat teachers that, in a way, kind of changed my life, really. I mean, in the understanding of what it meant to learn. Because I am not afraid of learning. In fact, I really enjoy learning. But it's because of teachers like Mr. Jenkins, who did science stuff, who put a Twinkie in a bag, and 6 months later ate the Twinkie. And it's like, meanwhile, the orange, the bologna sandwich, the apple, the fruit, the carrots, everything else he had put in bags next to the Twinkie were evaporated. They were empty bags, or they were puddles. Like, it was disgusting. And after that 6 months, he ate the Twinkie.
What grade was that?
3rd grade.
So my teacher that did like the same type of thing was 4th. So
okay.
Right around the same time. I have exact same experience.
That's fascinating. Sure. Like, there was that. Or one thing that was cool was he was fluent in Spanish. And it wasn't like an immersion type class at all, but his class, he spoke half Spanish half the time, because we had bilingual kids who did not speak English in our class, and so that was really neat. And we did a lot of like culture studies. In fact, one of my favorite breakfasts to this day is black beans and rice, white rice, and it's from when we studied South America. I think it was Uruguay or Paraguay, somewhere down in South America.
Okay.
And now I'm trying to think. That's not Mexico.
No.
That's definitely South America.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had this whole month where we studied everything in Spanish, and he brought in rice and black beans, and we ate that for breakfast, and I still love it to this day. And so there are teachers like that. There's Mrs. Bean, who did a lot of dress up. She was my 5th grade teacher. And when we did like a lot of the early American history, she would dress up as Queen Bean. And she let me play the trumpet, because I was playing the trumpet in band. And like, I was like her bugler. Every time we would do history classes, we'd do Queen Bean. Like, I'd do like I don't know. I just had a lot of fun memories at school, and summer was fine. Not like I had my family was great. So I have an older brother, 2 years older, and a younger sister, 3 years younger. And we played great. We had fun. We had enough of a yard that we had a treehouse. We had we had wood heat growing up, so a lot of the summer was spent chopping and stacking wood.
So, like, you had a like a wood stove.
A wood stove
that heated the whole house.
That heated the whole house.
Wow.
I remember. I doubt my parents will listen to this, but if they did, I'm sure they would say, "You mean most of the summer by like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You spent chopping wood, but you know."
And now your parents still live in that same house?
Still live in the same house.
Is it still wood heat?
Yep.
Wow.
Still wood heat.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want that in my own house, but...
Oh, see, I do want that in my own house, yeah. It's a pain.
Yeah.
It's a big pain. You gotta have wood.
Right.
You gotta have stacks of wood.
Yeah.
Because, number one, you don't want to leave the wood in the rain.
Right.
Because part of wood burning stoves is it has to be dry wood.
Yeah.
So you have to have a covered area, you have to have stacks to last through the summer, or the winter.
Yeah.
But,
did your wood stove have, like, a hot plate on top? Did you ever cook on top of it?
It was flat on top.
Okay.
So we often boiled water as a humidifier because the wood stove often, like, dries out your air.
Okay.
So we could have boiled. I think during certain power outages, we, like, made mac and cheese on it.
Right.
But yeah, so those are some fond memories. But that's why I love school. It wasn't that I loved doing homework. In fact, I hated doing homework. And if you ask me about high school, I was a terrible student. I didn't do any homework. I skipped school all the time. But school to me was social time.
Yeah.
You know, I was prom king.
Okay.
I was on the court almost every year, at least once.
I mean, everybody likes you, so this all makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, I was popular in the way that I wasn't the preppy, snobby popular one.
Right.
I was the popular one as though I had friends in the drama club. Well, I was a big part of the drama / choir club.
Yeah.
But I had friends in the computer club. I had athletic friends. I loved PE.
Yeah.
So.
You were dubbed in our group as the surprisingly athletic one of our group.
Yes. But yeah, so when you say school, that's what I love.
Okay. Now, this is cheating because we have a relationship outside of this interview, but you did play some sports in high school, right?
No. I was never on a school team.
Okay.
I played recreational / competitive soccer up until high school.
Okay, so that was through middle school you did. And now soccer was what I was thinking, but you just didn't want to go out and try out for the team.
I didn't want to try out. I don't know if it was just I didn't want to not make it. I think I could have made it. I was pretty good at soccer. I was played defense. I played on a competitive team that I think I had to try out for.
Okay.
But what I didn't want was everything to be about winning and losing because I just loved playing. And the whole idea of school sports was like, oh, you won for the school. The school's so proud of you. Or our soccer team sucks. You know, it's like, no, I just want to have fun, which is why I love PE and choir and theater. Those were way more fun than like waking up early to do laps or like running or like two-a-days. That sounds like way more work than
that's fair.
Rec league.
Okay.
But yeah.
Now, so like you mentioned, you did choir, you did drama. Did you continue into doing band at all into high school as well?
Nope.
Okay.
In high school, I took piano.
Okay.
Privately.
Like just private lessons.
Yeah.
Now, was it, which would you say came first? Because this is something that, I mean, even with what you talked about as to things you love now, music still stands. And while it's not necessarily theater that you mentioned, but that, you know, that fits in there. The arts as far as, you know, acting type things. Was that something that you were already passionate about and that's why you did it in high school? Or do you think that your time doing that kind of stuff, the higher level production things in high school, is what kind of gave you that passion that still stands today?
So when I did theater before high school, it was all about the costumes.
Okay.
It was all about dressing up and being a character. I loved storytelling from an early age. Robin Hood. I love Robin Hood. I still love Robin Hood. I own like 6 different versions of Robin Hood.
Okay.
Which
is your favorite?
It's hard because Errol Flynn, The Adventures of Robin Hood from, I think it's like 41 or 47, okay. Something like that. That's like your classic Robin Hood. And yeah. I love it. At the same time, it's just so hard to beat the nostalgia out of the Disney Fox Robin Hood.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely so my favorite version of Robin Hood. Yeah. So I'm right there with you.
I love the Ridley Scott, Russell Crowe version, just because I love Ridley Scott and Russell right. Crowe combinations. Yeah. American Gangster, Gladiator.
Yeah.
A Good Year, not so much, but...
Okay, I know. That's yeah. one I wasn't aware of that one, so that probably speaks to the quality.
Yeah, it's not great. but yeah, so I love storytelling, and I love costumes. I had a big box full of costumes.
Okay.
Growing up. And so that's kind of why I started enjoying theater, was you get yeah. to be a character.
Right.
You know, and so that was fun. And that's, I had a great drama teacher in 7th and 8th grade, Mrs. Hayescamp. She died a few years back, but I was able to go to her funeral, and that was cool to see how many lives she had touched.
Yeah.
By being the 7th and 8th grade drama teacher.
Right.
And so that was really cool, and she was a big part of it, and my high school teacher was a big part of, like, be better than who you are.
Okay.
Just be different.
Yeah.
Like, you know, be somebody. Like, whether you're a bad guy, like, be the best version of this person. And I don't know. I think that's a lot of, like, a lot of that root is be someone you're not right now. You know, escapism. Yeah. And that's part of why I love film and music now is, yeah. like, the escapism. I don't know what I'm trying to escape, if anything, but...
Well, I know you haven't had a chance to listen to the interview with my wife and I yet, but something that came up in that conversation even was I sort of had this revelation in talking with her that she also craves that escapism, but in a much different form. She, and I guess sort of the conclusion I came to, and I wonder if you would be on board with this, is that everyone needs to have some sort of an escape, but that there are largely two types of people. There's somebody who escapes through creating art, and there's someone who escapes through consuming art that others have created. Mm. Holly definitely falls more into the camp of she just wants to consume art that other people have created and then be enveloped in that fantasy world, where I, on the other hand, am much more the type of person who wants to constantly be creating something new that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And I think that you would probably, for what it sounds like you're saying, is that you would fall into the second group.
Yeah, I agree. That's good. I like that outlook. I definitely do that. I like consuming.
Right.
But yeah, I enjoy creating just as much.
Right.
I kind of got lost on what your original question was. See, I'm bad at
no worries. Questions. No, I mean, we're mostly just talking.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the question that sparked that last string there was just whether you felt like you had the passion and that's why you did it, or if sort of doing those things because they were available to you is what created the passion that you still have today.
Right, right. Did I answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
mean,
yeah, I think that for you, like, it was something that was fun originally just to do, and then through doing it and the people that you interacted with, which I think it comes back to, you're a people person. Largely, it's due to the relationships that you had with probably the people you were doing it with, the teachers that were leading you through that process. Yeah, that still obviously has an effect.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you say, for whatever reason, this year, the first time in history, you're longing for the summer.
Yeah.
And like you said, we've had probably the worst winter of our lives.
It's true.
We've had worse single events of snow.
Right.
But this is hands down the most occurrences of snow that we've had. Even just, I mean, last week, driving to Beaverton,
yeah,
where I work, I had Monday. I think it was Monday.
It was.
I woke up and there was
snow an inch on the of ground.
Snow. Yeah. Yeah.
March 6th?
Yeah, this probably is the latest snow that I remember.
Yeah.
At least for something that's sticking. You know, for us growing up, it was like, oh my gosh, it's snowing. And that's like, nothing is even sticking on the ground.
Right, there's that just was the flake, event.
There's flakes falling from the sky. That's... And this year, it's like, get that snow out of here.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I don't think I'm old, but like maybe it's just my body just wants to be warm.
Yeah. I realized today, actually, I was like really cold. And I was like, it's warmer today than it's been. Why am I so cold? And I realized my wife's out of town. So like I hadn't turned the heat on in over 24 hours. So our house was down into the 50s. And I was like, oh, like. This is, like, our house is warm because, like, Holly turns the heat on throughout the day. Like, that's not something I think to do, so.
That's funny.
I'm right there with you.
That's funny.
I am longing for warmth, too, even though I'm largely someone who's known as always being warm.
True. Yeah, very rarely have I seen you in pants.
I do wear pants to work every day now. I have decided with this... With this new position, it's the opportunity to, I guess, approach work differently, to be a little bit more, I don't know, advanced oriented. So I've committed to myself, even though I'm in a call center and it's very lax dress code, that I'm going to wear dress pants with a collared shirt every day.
Kind of like a dress for the job you want.
Yes, that type of a thing.
Attitude.
That, like, if I can come out of training, if I'm dressed differently than everyone else, if I can perform quickly, that I'll stand out from the crowd.
Sure. Sure. That makes a lot of sense. I think part of this longing for summer is also based upon my children.
Okay.
I love making my kids go outside. Because as I grew up, we were not poor by any means. We were... My dad was a teacher, so they didn't... Teachers don't make great money. And my mom didn't work until my sister was in middle school, I think. So we always had that. But we didn't have a lot of extra stuff. And even the extra stuff we did have... We were balanced.
Yeah.
Half hour of electronics a day.
Wow.
Until I was like maybe a sophomore. And then we got an hour.
Okay.
That's email at the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Or AIM. Did you ever get on
the Instant weren't allowed Messenger? To do
AIM, okay.
Instant Messenger.
Okay.
I could have gotten in some trouble there.
That's true.
OPB, we weren't allowed to watch cartoons or Fox or The Simpsons. It was OPB, which
but
was...
not everything, right?
No. I love telling that story about... And honestly, it's so funny. I'll tell you the whole story because I'm sure your listeners, some of your listeners have heard this, but my sister and I used to argue frequently, and one of the TV shows we watched... was Arthur.
Okay.
The Aardvark.
Yeah.
Arthur the Aardvark on OPB.
Yeah. I remember it.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's a great show. Buster the Bunny.
A-R-D-V-A-R-K.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. DW and Arthur were siblings, and they were constantly arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my sister were constantly arguing. And so my parents, in their wisdom, decided to outlaw Arthur. We were not allowed to watch Arthur. I thought that was ridiculous. An OPB show we weren't allowed to watch, like,
right.
Seriously? And as a father of a 3-year-old who can be unbelievably bratty at times,
yeah,
I have outlawed Caillou.
For a similar reason. You feel
the
like
the exact
that
reason. Caillou is a terrible kid. He's a brat. He's
and she
doesn't listen to his parents.
Like him.
She's mimicking him. And so I
have
pulled the knife from my back that I thought my parents put there and placed it in my daughter's back because I don't want her watching Caillou because right. I hear things that he says and then she says them and I'm yeah. like, oh, hell no. You are not going to watch Caillou. And
see,
then,
me growing up, it was a little more like direct, like, when you watch Ninja Turtles, you try to be the Ninja Turtles and you hit people. So you can't watch Ninja Turtles anymore.
Right.
When you watch Power Rangers, you try to be the Power Rangers and you fight with kids at school. So you can't watch Power Rangers anymore. So, but I, same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And so, like, I laugh on the inside and the outside thinking of, like, oh, the bitterness I had towards my parents for not letting me watch Arthur. And here I am not letting my daughter watch Caillou because
that's a Nick Jr.
exact
show?
Same. Yeah, it's youth 7 and under. Like, it's a kid's show.
Right.
It's about he learns shapes and how to share and how to be kind and sleep and stuff. It's like Daniel the Tiger, only instead of a cool tiger who learns lessons, he's a bratty 7-year-old.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so we didn't watch much TV, and so I spent lots of time outside.
Okay.
In the tree fort, playing guns with my brother. Like, sure, Army's cool outside,
right.
but Arthur's not cool inside. So,
yeah.
And so because of that, I have this strong resolve to make my children play outside.
Okay.
We don't have a cool tree house, but she's got this cool house out here.
You have a tree, you could build a tree
house.
That's
true.
If you
that's
wanted.
True. As of right now, we obviously want our kids in the back.
Right. Yeah.
But as they get older, maybe that's something that could happen. I want my kids to be able to play outside and have a great time and self entertain.
Yeah.
So that they don't need to sit on the TV and watch TV all day.
Yeah. For sure.
So I think part of my desire of summer is it's just been cold lately.
Yeah.
And, I don't know about you. You have a great patio.
Yeah.
But, I've been doing this with my youngest daughter. She's 18 months old. And once a week when it's not raining, we go out and sit on the porch for 15 minutes. And we just sit. Sometimes she talks. Most of the time we look at the birds or we laugh at the cars passing. I play Bob Dylan.
Okay.
I play Bob Dylan. I play the Rolling Stone. I play some sort of old,
yeah,
old just music. And it's just really sweet. It's really nice time that I don't know if she'll remember. Probably not. But I will remember these moments where it's like we're just sitting on the porch swing, laughing at the birds, listening to old classical music of not classic rock. And it's just like, I'm excited to do that every day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's hard. I'm realizing as our kids are very similarly aged.
Yes.
And I'm realizing now that if you just let life happen, it's actually really hard to remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you aren't intentional about making memories, you don't have a ton of concrete memories with your children. And so, yeah, for us, our similar thing that we do is every night when I come home, we have a dance party with the kids. So we let, at this point, Kate gets to choose the songs because Charlie doesn't know the names of the songs we're playing. And
right.
Kate always chooses the same 3 songs. but it's still fun. We put on 3 songs and we just dance and be silly. And it's just our nightly routine that, exactly like you said, She's not going to want to do it very much longer.
Right.
Kate's not going to remember that when she's 16 or when she's even probably getting married. But, like, when I go to walk her down the aisle someday,
you'll be seeing that's what I'm going to be
remembering and bawling my eyes out. Is right. Like, you were three and we had dance parties. And oh, man. Yeah.
You know, I have a playlist on my Spotify account right now that's titled The Day Gracie Broke My Heart.
Okay.
And this happened about 2 months ago.
Okay.
For the last year and a half or so, ever since Gracie could stand, I've been putting her on a chair and we've been making breakfast Sunday mornings listening to Bruce Springsteen, who is my all-time favorite artist.
Okay.
And we called it Breakfast with Bruce. And about 2 months ago, she said, Dad, can we listen to Sing music instead of Bruce today? And I just about died on the inside.
Yeah.
And it did. It a little piece of my heart disappeared that day.
Yeah.
And so now I have a playlist titled The Day Gracie Broke My Heart, which is half Moana, Sing, Beauty and the Beast, the music she wants to listen to,
yeah,
and half Bruce Springsteen. And so I made her a deal, say, put this on shuffle. So it'll be some Gracie songs, some Dada songs, some Gracie songs, some Dada songs. But yeah, just that was so tough. It was like, she's at three. She's already her own-minded body.
Yeah, like, she has the things she likes.
Yeah.
Independent of what you want her to like.
It's true.
Yeah.
Now, as a proud moment still, she can still pretty much identify Bruce Springsteen by voice and style.
Wow.
So I'm still happy about that. She goes, wait, Dad, is this Bruce? I go, yes. So I'm still happy about that.
Yeah, but that, I don't think Kate would be able to pick out a song she'd never heard before.
Yeah.
And know the artist.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're not blasting Demon Hunter with her every Sunday.
No, I've had to largely give up music that I enjoy.
Yeah.
For music that we can all stand. And even music that, if it wasn't for my daughter, I wouldn't stand at all. But
right.
I mean, so her three songs that she chooses every night, she chooses Girls Like Boys or Boys Like Girls, one of the two. It's one of those by Ingrid Michaelson. She calls it the boy song. And then she chooses the Butterfly Fly Away song, which is Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
And then she chooses the crazy song, which is actually Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney.
Right, yeah.
So
the Bond song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so she those are the three she chooses. She has her names for them. And so those are the three songs she chooses every night. She'll occasionally like just throw out a random, like, she also really likes Imagine You and Me by, oh gosh, what is their name? Now I can't think of the name.
Imagine
but,
You and Me.
Yeah. How happy we could be. Yeah. Yep. So she really likes that song. She calls it the You and Me song.
Nice.
But it's, yeah, it's pretty precious watching your little kid, like, sing along with songs.
Oh, that's and just true.
Loving them, so. It's hard for me to wish that she would like different music because it's still just so cute.
Yeah.
Even with the music that she does like. I am similar to you in the sense that I don't ever remember like summer being a thing I really enjoyed. Other than the fact, so very similar to you in the sense that I couldn't have cared less for the learning at school.
Mm.
That was just didn't care. But I think the difference between me and you is you found your friendships and relationships through school programs. So when school was over for the year and you were off for the summer, you missed those things. Where I got a job my freshman year, and so a lot of my friendships and relationships and the people that I hung out with were from that. So I still had that, and actually I got to work more during the summer because I didn't have school. So I guess in that regard, I enjoyed summer growing up more. But yeah, it hasn't necessarily ever been something I've looked forward to. But as I've got into adulthood and, like, you know, I think kids change a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, because the ability to go do stuff, go play outside, go to the park, go, you know, go to the Gilbert house, you know, things that it's hard to do during the winter and the fall and, you know, anytime it's raining, just good weather does bring more fun
yeah.
for kids. And I think that that definitely changes a lot. So I think we're in agreement there. Summer's yeah. a good time yeah. these days. Plus, I mean, I do look forward to our group camping trip every year.
That's oh, it's so good.
Something that I definitely enjoy. So
you know, you said you got a job freshman year.
Yep.
I had a job before that. I think I was in sixth grade doing okay. a paper route.
Okay.
It was not a morning paper route, obviously.
Right.
It was a once a week, small town, Wednesday afternoon paper route that I would ride my bike around the neighborhood. And the shoppers were one penny and the because everybody could get the shopper. You pretty much just put a shopper on every day or everybody's porch, whether they subscribed or not. It was like a weekly ad.
Right.
And then the appeal was I think you got 85 cents per appeal.
So you actually were going like selling these to people door to door?
No, just delivering.
Okay.
They purchased the subscription through the okay. Silverton appeal.
So this is what you
I would pick up my route
got paid
and
a
I
penny
would pay
per,
a penny okay. per shopper and okay. 85 cents per appeal.
Okay.
It ended up being about $45. I want to say every 2 weeks.
I mean, so like for a sixth grader.
$90 a month yeah. for somebody who has no needs for money at all.
Right. Yeah.
It was great.
Absolutely.
But so I had that. That was my first job. A real job. I didn't have to claim it on my taxes because $90 right. a month doesn't equate to
yeah.
even $1,000. Well, yeah, it does, but.
Barely $1,000.
Barely $1,000 a yeah. year. And take the taxes out of that, it was less. So,
right.
But yeah, so I did that, and then my eighth grade year, the summer going into my freshman year, I got to work at a Christian camp,
okay,
Canyon View.
Okay.
I worked in the dish pit, which means
cleaning dishes.
Cleaning dishes, which means I got there for breakfast at like 6 a.m.
Wow.
And I worked until about 5, the wow. dinner shift. Because while it was a day camp, there was also, well, the camp I went to there was a day camp, but there was okay. an overnight, there was a horse college
oh,
there as okay. well, year round. And so there was 3 squares a day, Monday through Sunday. Like every day there was 3 square meals, but I worked Monday through Friday as a eighth grader going wow. to freshman year. And my brother was a counselor out there, so he okay. would take me to work sometimes. My parents yeah. would take me to work sometimes. But the freshman year, so I worked there 2 summers.
Okay.
The year, my freshman year that I worked there, I got to stay out there.
Wow.
Pretty much the whole summer. Me and my brother wow. would go back on certain weekends, and certain yeah. weekends we wouldn't. That was one of the greatest summers ever.
Yeah. No parents.
No parents.
Did you like room with your brother?
You roomed in a cabin with the counselors.
Okay.
So it was like a big, they called it the roundhouse, the boys' roundhouse.
Okay.
And there was like 16 bunks in there.
Wow. Okay.
It was a big round house, 16 bunks. And yeah, there's Bible studies, like Monday morning Bible studies, which were brutal, because that meant I had to get up at 5 to hit the dish pit
yeah.
first, go to the Bible study at 6, and not be behind.
Okay.
And all this was for about $100 a week.
Wow, okay.
Because certain laws say churches don't have to pay.
Yeah.
Nonprofits don't have to pay their employees minimum wage.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because even then.
Well, because they're giving you room and board.
Room and board.
Yeah.
Free food. Well, yeah. To me, free.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't getting paid minimum wage. Yeah. So, but yeah, free room and board, free food, just a blast. Campfires every night.
Yeah.
Jordan's gonna hate this if she listens to this, but like a freshman in high school, a lot of pretty girls.
Yeah.
Me and a friend, she worked at the horse camp that summer.
Okay.
And I was in the kitchen, and we kind of developed these little crushes on each other.
Okay.
And nothing ever came about it. And then that following October, sophomore year, was when Jordan and I started dating.
Okay.
But me and this girl, Michelle, we both really liked each other. And to this day, we're still friends with Michelle and her husband, Corey. Okay. They just had a baby. And yeah, so it's always kind of funny because she told Jordan that she liked me, and I told Jordan many years later that I had a big crush on her. So kind of funny, those things that like, what if?
Yeah, I mean, now it doesn't
matter at all, but
it is funny, like,
right?
The drama can come of that.
Yeah,
I don't know if it ever did.
But yeah, man, that summer, that specific summer, was a crazy summer.
Yeah,
crazy on so many levels. Nothing like movie camp crazy, like camp movie. Nothing like Meatballs or Wet Hot American Summer. Nothing crazy like that. But
yeah.
The people that were in and out of that camp and good times.
Yeah, I never did any big camps like that. The summer right after I graduated high school, so I was 18, I was a counselor at a high school camp. And so obviously, like, I was barely older than some of the people there. So I got like all the freshman boys, like they gave me all the incoming from eighth into freshman and then the freshman going to sophomore.
Sure.
I got, you know, for the church that I went up with and that was a lot of fun. And it is funny. Like when you do stuff like that, like every year when we just go camping as a church, you know, it's like, why don't we do stuff like this anymore? You know, why is society like so isolated? You know, why do we all have our own house that we are separated from people most of the time? And it's, you know, like, but then if that was your reality, like you said, nowadays it's like you kind of crave the once in a blue moon when you get 12 hours to yourself.
Right.
With no kids to take care of. It's just you. And
yeah.
I do often think now, like, you know, as I have so many responsibilities, I think about, like, the times in life when I didn't have any responsibilities and how much, like, I wasted those times.
You know,
like,
my gosh.
If I had the perspective now, you know, like, if I could have the perspective when I was 18 and moved out of the house that I have now as far as just, like, what's important in life, you know? But I think you have to go through
the
ups and downs of wasting your money and
what would you do differently?
Your time. The biggest thing I would do differently, if I had known about tiny houses when I was 18, I would have made it my goal to own a tiny house rather than, because when I moved out of Matt's house, you know, when he and Katie got married, I just moved in this tiny little studio apartment. You know, like, and if that had even been a thing back then, I would have, like, there was a time in my life when I had two jobs and my cost of, like, the amount of my bills each month was like $700.
Right. And you had two jobs.
Yeah. So, like, I was just wasting all of my money. And it's like, man, if I could have, like, you know, been putting away even just 20% of the money I was making when I had been ready to move out of Matt's house, like, gosh, not even a tiny house. I could have just put a down payment on a house, you know, like, so there's just things like that's the biggest thing that I would have done was just financial, like, just mostly the way that I would handle my finances if I could do it over again.
That is so funny to me because you remember how you were like, we're the opposite with school.
Yeah.
We're the opposite here too, because the minute I asked that question, being like, what would you do differently? You went straight to the financial plan smarter so you can be. And I went to, I would have hitchhiked across the country working barback jobs, busser jobs, me and Jordan just.
Yeah.
I would visit every single state, not having a single job, just like, I would have done the Jacob Davis.
Well, and I definitely see the value in that. I think as I've gotten older, I have realized there is value in experience for sure. And that is something that I could definitely, you know, if I was going to spend my money, I would have rather spent it on a trip than eating at Red Robin again, you know? But then at the same time, it's like my life is the way it is now, and I love my life because of the way things went
leading
up to it.
There's no going back.
Right.
You can't go back.
For sure. And I wouldn't go back if I could.
Agreed. On that, I agree. I wouldn't do anything different if I could. If they were like, you have the opportunity to do something different. Like the whole, what's it called? Butterfly effect?
Oh, yeah.
Where you step on the butterfly a billion years ago and everything is different?
Right. Have you ever seen that movie? In all your movie
with
exploits?
Ashton Kutcher? Yeah. Is that who it is? No, I haven't seen it.
It's not a terrible movie. I kind of liked that movie when I was, you know, 19.
That seems like as good a place as any to end the conversation for this episode. Once again, this is part one of three. There's plenty more to come from my conversation with Kevin. In the meantime, I will end this episode like I end every episode with an exclusive heebie-jeebie clue for all of you to solve. Now, I have had answers given to the first two exclusive clues that were given in episodes one and two, my two-part interview with my wife, Holly. I do have those voicemails saved, and I will be compiling all of the answers. You know, when I have five or six voicemails, probably do a whole episode of playing the winners and revealing those answers. And hopefully, if there's any comments or questions or anything that anyone has regarding something that they've heard on the show, then we can kind of discuss those things as well. But the exclusive heebie-jeebie clue for this episode is compliment plate. That is compliment plate. And as a reminder, the only way to be named the official winner of this heebie-jeebie is to submit your answers via voicemail. Our voicemail inbox can be reached at 507-407-CHEW. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of Chew It with Pruitt. Be on the lookout for part two of my time with Kevin. I've already edited everything down, so basically just have to record an intro and an outro, and you'll have another episode to listen to. Well, until then, I know I probably blew it, but this was Chew It with Pruitt.